It's great. Well, we're going to be talking for the next few weeks about some vision for the church. 2016 is here. You know, we've just passed through Christmas time and we've done all of our Christmas stuff and we've allowed all of that to happen. But now we're in 2016 and God's got a plan for this church, doesn't he? I really believe God's got something very special, and I don't know how many times I can say that or should say that, or I'm just going to say it a lot. I'm going to keep saying it because I have seen, even since we've been here, some really incredible things. We have new families showing up here all the time. We've got salvations all the time. We're seeing people pulled from, honestly, just terrible situations and finding the light of Jesus in their lives. So excited to see what's going on in this church. And 2016 is going to be no different. In fact, I believe God's got greater things than we could ever ask or imagine. He's got something in store for us. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about what that will look like. The series is called, What If We? What If We? Sometimes we think, as Christians, we think, that'll be nice when God does something and he really moves. Like, won't it be nice when he changes the Comox Valley and when he does all of those things? And God is going to do some of those things. But once in a while, I think God's looking back at us and saying, yeah, but won't it be nice when you start doing some things too? Won't it be nice when the people who call Jesus their Lord, won't it be nice when they start saying, we're going to take a little bit of responsibility for what's going on in this Comox Valley? We're going to believe for greater. We're going to pray greater. We're going to speak life in greater capacities. We're going to encourage. We're going to reach into dark places. We're going to love those who don't know love. We're going to reach as well. And won't it be nice when God does things and we do things and together we see incredible things happen in the Comox Valley? What if we? So each week we're going to sort of wrap up a vision piece into what if we. This week is what if we made room for more? What if we made room for more? Isaiah 54:2. Today I only have two verses. Okay, today, if there was ever a time that you could remember what I said, today's the day. Two verses. Okay, some people leave here and like, I don't know what he said, but I like his bald head. I just thought of that one on my own. So anyways, we preachers learn how to rhyme. Here we go. Isaiah 54:2. Enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. I don't know how many people here have been camping. I'm assuming many. If I asked that question in Victoria, people are like, what's camping? I don't know what you're talking about. But when I was a youth pastor in Victoria, we started bringing a bunch of youth up camping here in Courtney at Sela Campground. And we would set up tents and do our whole thing, and we did that partly because then they don't have phone service anymore, or at least their phones die pretty quick, and then all of a sudden we're alone, just us and God. We're doing actual camping. I know some of you are like, that's not actual camping. You can see houses across the river. But for Victoria folks, they're like, honestly, people are like, so is a bear going to get us here? What, like? They're freaked out. They were freaked out there. But anyways, we'd bring them, and we'd have to bring so many extra tents. So we'd tell every kid to bring a tent, and probably about 5% did. So leaders would come with all of their tents, and we'd try to put. We never had a kid sleeping outside, so that was a good win. However, we did have kids. This one year, this guy brought a mesh top tent, no fly on the tent at all. It dumped rain on us. We were wringing out his foamy in the morning. Like his sleeping bag, his clothes, his foamy, they were gross. But he still stuck around the youth group and still loves Jesus today. So praise the Lord. But we'd come up and I'd have my 6-person tent and a 3-person tent. And I always gave away one of my tents. I kept one for myself, but I always gave away one of my tents. And the one that I always gave away was the 6-person tent. Isn't that generous of me? Hey? Gave away my nice, big, luxurious tent, and I kept only the 3-person tent. And you think that was, you know, the pastor is so generous and nice. It's awesome. But really, the reason I did that is so that there was a very low likelihood that anyone was going to sleep with me in my tent. Right? If I have the 6-person tent, everyone can show up. Come on in. Here we go. Let's cram in. We got room. Put your bag there. Do that. If I have the 3-person, it's like, sorry, there's not a lot of room here. You know, I'm gonna have to be here on my own. I just like, leaders, you take care of the youth. I'm gonna read some books over here and learn about Jesus. Something, you know, that's what I would sort of think about, especially as the years went on. I'm thinking I need to buy a smaller tent so definitely no one comes and joins me. Because when you invite someone in your tent, you never know. They don't maybe live the same way you live in a tent, right? Someone walks in out of the mud, stomping in the tent, you know, stomping through like this. You know the way it goes. I mean, you walk in and all of a sudden your pillow has a footprint on it. Like, okay, this is not what I do. You know, this is not how I live. So when you come in my tent, please take off your shoes, you know. Or snoring. That's an issue, you know. It's an issue. So, you're there in the tent, and you're thinking, this is going to be nice youth trip. I'm going to get lots of sleep. It's so good. And then the person beside you is snoring. Well, if you're in a six-person tent, there's five people. Someone's going to be snoring. If you're in a one-person, if I snore, I don't mind. You know, I don't mind that at all. It's fine if I snore. So you go in there. Or the other thing is young people, especially ones who have yet to realize that their body produces smells, sometimes they're just stinky, right? Youth are just stinky. So if I have a small tent, they're not coming in here, and I'm just okay. If I have a large tent, all of a sudden I have stink, I have snore, I have mess, I have dirtiness, something. I'm just going to have a small little tent, not too many people, and then I'll be fine. Reality is, I know that all sort of sounds funny, reality is sometimes we think of church this way, don't we? I don't want someone to come in here with their all their mess. We're here, we've got our nice clean, you know, we're organized, we know what we're doing, we talk the way we talk, we know the people we know, we sit in the same spot every time. I don't want someone coming in and sitting themselves down in my seat. I don't want someone coming in and speaking in a different way than I speak. I don't want someone taking my friends. I don't want people, you know, I've got a good group here. I don't want anyone infiltrating our church. Sometimes we think that way about church, don't we? Sometimes we think a smaller church would be good because then this will just be the right size to know everyone, to know what everyone's all about, to make sure that it's all safe and happy and good. I remember when I was moving up here, someone said, "How big's the church?" I said, "I don't know, somewhere between 300 and 400, I think." And they said, "Oh, that's a great size." I said, "Oh yeah? Yeah, why?" I'm coming from a 15 to 1800 person church. I said, "Why is that a great size?" I say, "Well, it feels like there's momentum in that size. It feels like there's a lot of people around. It's fun, but you can sort of pretty much know everyone." And I thought, "Oh, that's a good thought. It's a good idea. I want to know everyone. I want to be able to see everyone. And we are a family. We talk about family a lot in this church. We believe we are a family. We believe that there's something special in us knowing one another. But I want to confess something to you. I would love to grow so big that I don't know everyone. I would love to be in a place where there's too many people, so we can't know everyone. Where there's thousands of people coming to know Jesus, and they're standing around, and we walk in and we know you because you're a Christian, and we love Jesus, and you love Jesus, and we're doing this together, and we're pushing on together, but I don't know what you're facing, I don't know what you're going through, I don't know maybe even your name, I don't know everything about you, but we're all doing the same thing. I confess, I want something bigger than what we have, because I believe every person that comes in this church and meets with Jesus is a win. And when we create church and say, this is the size we want, and we don't want to go past it, we start maybe not reaching people who don't know Jesus yet, because they might change the dynamic of our church. They might change what's going on here. They might make it feel different, and the way that things were may not be the way that they could be. Things might change. I believe Jesus is calling us to something changing. He's growing this church. He's leading people to this place. He's drawing people into this community, into this body. And so we've got to figure out how to enlarge the place of our tent. I like when this verse from Isaiah says, "Let your habitations be stretched out." Your habitations. These people that they're talking to are mostly living in tents. And so they're not saying, "Hey, you should make a bigger church, or you should build a bigger building." He's saying, "Your habitation, your life, the way you live, the places you live in, expand that. Make your life bigger. Make your life more far-reaching. Make your life more welcoming. Expand who you're caring for. Expand who you're reaching to. Expand who you're loving, even in your life, even in your home, even in your living room. Do that for people. So when we make room, they will come. Isaiah 54, which I just read from, follows Isaiah 53. Go figure. And Isaiah 53 is one of the most prophetic scriptures talking about Jesus 700 years before Jesus showed up. Talks about such specific things about Jesus, and the entire chapter, it's quoted all the time, and we use it all the time in church. We use it all the time in different places because we believe this. We love this stuff. We love that Jesus took on our sin. He took on our brokenness. He took on all that we've walked through, all the messiness. He took it all on himself. It says things like, surely he took on our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, we are healed. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. We love that scripture. As Christians, we love that one. Isn't it so amazing what Jesus did for us? Isn't it so amazing that he reached out to us? Isn't it so amazing that he would be hurt even for us? He'd be discomforted for us. He would be betrayed for us. He would be killed for us. Isn't that amazing? The verse after that is Isaiah 54:1. Sing, O barren woman, you who have bore a child, burst. You who never bore a child, burst into song. Shout for joy. You who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. All of a sudden, this it like bursts into this. Isaiah 53, all about Jesus and his life and him making room for people and taking on death and brokenness so that we can know life. And then the very next verse shows up, and it's all about a barren woman, because he's talking about even those who think they're in death are going to know life. Even those who think they're in brokenness are going to know restoration. Even those who think there's no hope are going to find hope. It's incredible what's going to happen when you get this good news. Those who think they're never going to bloom will bloom. Those who think they'll never build will build. Those people, it's just the best news, by the way, in larger tent. Very next verse after that, we walk through and say, here's Jesus. And then it says, here's the hope that he puts in you. We'll give one verse to that. And then the next thing says, so you better enlarge your tent, because if this news is in you and it's leaving from you, you're going to need more space. You're going to need more room. You're going to need to open the doors a little wider. Your arms are going to need to stretch a little bit more. You say, well, I have all of my life figured out. I have all of the things. I don't really want to do more. Then go read Isaiah 53 and come back. Isaiah 54:2. Jesus did it first. He made room for us. What if we made room for more? What if we made room for the next? What if we opened up our hearts? What if we opened up our lives? What if we opened up our church for more to experience what we're experiencing? For more to see what we're seeing? For more to love what we love? Don't you? I love being a part of Northgate. I love being a part of this church. I love getting to tell people I'm about this church. When people say, yeah, what church are you from? I say, Northgate. It's awesome. I might be a little bit biased, but I believe Northgate's the best church in town. We're all doing the same work. We're all working together. We're all fighting for the same things. But I love being a part of this church. This is a good place to be. So as we think about this, making more room and trying to fit more people, we honestly need to think about the building. We honestly need to think about who we are. We honestly need to think about our services. When I showed up to this church, I remember thinking, right away there was a bit of excitement. People looking at the new pastor. People do that. Christians do that. Oh, a new pastor. Maybe I should leave my church and come to there. You know, it's not good. It's not a good practice. Don't do it if a new pastor comes to another church somewhere, okay? I sort of look, and Christians do this. I go, what's going on? Should we go see him? And I don't know, he's bald, we'll leave. And so, I'm just kidding. That's too bald. That's a little bit much for 1 week. little bit much. Some people are feeling a little sensitive in here. People started coming, and we started right away. I remember Pastor George and I driving down the road and thinking, we're going to need to do something about this. We're like full. We got to figure this out. We're going to need to add a service or something. We started adding. There was a bunch of chairs in different rooms. We started adding the chairs and filling all the space as much as we could. And we started allowing for the space to grow a bit. And we said, let's not jump to any conclusions. Maybe people are just checking out the church and they're going to carry on. And let's just wait and see for a little bit. Well, I've always heard the stat, if you get to about 70% or 80% of your capacity, you're not going to grow beyond that. Because no matter how much we like people to come and join us, so a new person to this church showing up, looking in and saying, I can't fit my whole family, they're just not going to stick around. I'll find there's maybe a church down the road that's got more seats, you know. And we want people to be a part of this. We want people to see this. We want people to be a part of what we're doing and carry our vision with us and believe for what Jesus is doing with us. We want people to do this with us. We want people to join us. We want people who are coming in and don't know Jesus to hear about the good news of Jesus and then have a spot to sit when they do. So we've actually sort of for a long time been sitting at that 70 or 80% mark. We actually have some stories of people who came into nursery and then didn't want to drop off their kids because the nursery was too full, so they left. And we have people who waited in the lobby trying to find a seat and they couldn't find a seat, so they left. And we have these stories in our church of people not getting to be part of this strictly for the practical reason that there's not enough room. I really believe practical problems have practical solutions. Make more room. Let's make more room. What if we made more room? This year, September to December, we have 19% more people than we had September to December last year. That's a big jump. It's exciting. Yeah, it is. 19%. If we wanted to do the exact same thing for next year, we'd literally have nowhere to put people. They wouldn't have a seat. Is that what we want to do? Well, yeah, but we've got a nice small tent and we know everyone. It's comfortable and it's good. Or do we grab the big tent? Say, I've got a big tent now. I'm enlarging it. The wings are spreading out. We're just laying out a tarp. That's all we got, a tarp, and come in, join. Like, what was that? What would that look like for us if we were to make more room? I believe God is calling us into something special. I believe God's placed faith in many of your hearts. I know He's placed it in my heart to see this place grow. I don't want us to remain in one spot. And so I was kind of afraid and kind of holding back for a long time about us adding a service. But I really believe God is saying, now is the time. Get moving. You've got people who need to be saved. You've got people who need to know about me. You've got people who need to be a part of this and part of what you're doing and a part of what we're doing. They need to know the mission, their potential, their life, and it happens here at church. And so we're going to add a second service. It's exciting. Exciting. And it is exciting. And I know it's also sometimes a little bit scary. Oh, what if my friends go to the other service and I miss them? You know, what if at this new service they don't know that my seat is that seat? They might forget. I don't want them to forget. They might, those 11 o'clockers don't know me, you know? What about volunteers? What about how we're going to serve? What about how we're going to carry it out? Let me tell you, I believe if God's put a vision in our heart, He'll also help us carry it out. He'll give us all that we need to carry out the vision because He's placed it here. He's given it to us. And also, we've got a practical problem. We don't have enough space. What if we made more space? So there are two things I just want to briefly mention to you before we take communion. And that's not you don't have to come yet, Pastor George. First one is this. It says, lengthen your cords. Enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Imagine that. I mean, they've got a different tent design then, but for me, I know, you know those little poles that you stick together? And then sometimes they break and your tent's done then, like you don't know. But if they're not long enough, they're absolutely completely useless for your tent. Because if they don't reach that little eyelet peg thing and get over to this eyelet peg thing, then they're not going to pop up. I don't know if you haven't. I think this is a Victoria crowd. You're like, what's a tent again? Well, I don't know what you're doing. Wait, where did we go? Where are we? Anyways, if they're too short, they won't actually bend up. You can't actually make the tent actually work. If the cord is too short, and we're going to call them the little pole, not the big pole, the little pole. If the little pole is too short, we can't put up the tent. So we can expand the canvas as much as we want. We can have as much, whatever it is, neoprene? What do you think? Neoprene? I don't know. Something. But whatever material, you can have loads of material flapping in the wind, but if you don't have the cord, it's not going to stand at all. The cord in my heart and in my mind as I've been praying about this is our church being the church, being missional and being intentional. We're going to open up some seats in this room, which means you've got some opportunities. You've got some chances to talk to some people. Right now, I don't know if I should invite them because there's that person that always sits right beside me and they kind of like sitting beside me. I don't really want to move. But all of a sudden, you're going to come in here and you're going to see some space. And we're not going to hang our heads. I can't believe there's space in the church. I just can't believe this. The pastor can do that because it's hard. The pastors often feel like, oh no, look at all the seats. But we're going to, as a church, believe that those are opportunities. We're going to believe that as we look at an empty seat, we've actually intentionally decided to put that empty seat there so that we can actually intentionally decide to put someone in it. You are the church. We are the church. The church isn't just something we do. It's something we are. It's something God has commissioned us to be. He said, be the church. Be the people moving for God. Church was originally used for those who just gathered in Jesus' name, loved him, and did what he said. The church is not a Sunday morning. We're so thankful for the Sunday morning because we believe good things happen here and people get inspired here. Life is given here. So we're going to open up seats and the cords that are going to hold this thing together and going to fill those seats are you. Co-workers, parents that you see at gymnastics or skating or hockey or swimming, people at Thrifties. You know, maybe you go to the same Thrifties every time and you bump into the same person every time and eventually they've started telling you their story a little bit and letting you know about, you're going to get some opportunities. Say, hey, I actually know of an empty seat in town. Come fill it. Let's go. I'll bring you Sunday morning. There's an empty seat. You sit right there and we're just going to believe that God is going to fill you with life. He's going to give you all that you need. We're trying on Sunday mornings to create a space that's easy for someone who doesn't know Jesus to come in and be a part of and see it and experience it with us. If we're not doing that, write me an email and tell me you're not doing it, so I don't want to invite my friends. But if we are doing that, invite your friends. Bring them out. Fill the seat. Fill the seats that you see empty. And the next one is strengthen your stakes. Strengthen your stakes. Without the stakes, the wind blows things over. Actually, this year, I had a tent set up in my backyard. I didn't stake it down because I didn't know that we lived in tornado zone. I came out one day, and we didn't stake it down, and the little pole had all fallen over. The little pole had snapped because we didn't stake it down. And that tent, now I'm like, I don't know, I guess I'll try to find one on eBay or Amazon or something, I don't know, but it had snapped because it wasn't staked down. The stakes of this church, the Sunday morning church at least, what we do here, I believe, are the volunteers that are going to serve. If you're not serving in this church right now and you're not part of it, you would call this your church, you'd say it's your home, it's where you go every Sunday, it's where your life is, it's where you're excited to be a part of, it's where you have community, it's what you call your family, and you're not serving on a Sunday morning, would you please consider doing that? I would love to see myself, if we have 350 people in a room, I'd love to see 350 people on a team and all of a sudden we can be a 1,000-person church, no problem. If we've got that many people who say, I'll just volunteer. Maybe it's once a month. Maybe it's every week. Maybe it's in different areas. We've got sort of four areas that you can think about. Guest services, which is like coffee bar, greeting. We're going to put people out in the parking lot to welcome those in. Parking lot smilers. Like if you're good at smiling, the parking lot is for you. If you've got a good wave, that's a good spot. Wave, smile, this, a little point, and you're good. That's the parking lot. We just want to put people in the parking lot. We're going to hold an umbrella and walk people to the door and open the door and allow people who are first coming to the church to feel like, I'm part of this thing already. I'm excited to be in here. This is nice. I'm dry. He's soaked, but I'm nice and dry. This is great. They sacrificed for me. I wonder who their Savior is. The one who sacrifices for us. So guest services, and Pastor George leads that. We have worship ministry. I'm going to talk about all of these next week, by the way. And Karen, who is up here on keys, she leads that for us. We have kids ministry, and Pastor Joel leads that. And then we have production. People who want to run video cameras. Look at Kyle over there. Way to go, Kyle. There he is. We want to dream for this church. We want to see more stuff. We want to see more people involved. We want to see you taking part in it. Money is good. Giving is good. But giving your time is really good. We want to see you stepping into it. We want to see you serving the church. We want to see a broad spectrum of people saying, this is my home, and this is where the family is, and there's enough tent room because we've stretched to fit you. Come on in. We want to grow. And whether or not we want to, it's happening. So we need to make room. What if we did? What if we did make room? Pastor George, you can meet with your servers over there, and they're going to grab their communion trays and get ready. I believe if we made room, we'd grow. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what we'll be looking at 5-10 years down the road. But I know that right now God is placing this on my heart, and I'm sure he's starting to place it on some of your hearts, that we need to make a little bit more room. We need to empty some of our seats, and then we need to start to call people into them and believe that God's going to change lives. He's going to set people free. He's going to reach them. We care about numbers here as a church. Some churches say we don't care about numbers. We do, because every number is a person. Every person is someone that Jesus Christ cares about. He loves them. He's reaching out to them. He's calling to them. And how many times is he calling to them, and there's someone that he's calling to and saying, go reach them, go care for them. God says it's not good for us to be alone. It's not good for us to walk alone. How many of us is he saying, I need you to go to that person. I've been speaking to their life, but you go and be the messenger. You go and be the love. You go and be the support, the community, the family. You go and be the one. So as a church, we're going to together say, we will be that one. We will be the people who are reaching those and putting them in family and community. We're going to do it by opening up more space. And saying, bring your messy shoes in here. Not on my pillow, but in here. Come and be a part of what we've got going on. Worship team, you can come join us too. This is going to happen, I'm hoping, the first week in February. For the next few weeks, we're going to get to talk about it. We're going to really push hard that people would start to be involved and on team and serving in this church. You might be a small group leader or have some midweek ministries or things like that. But I'd love to see you on Sunday too. Youth leaders who lead at youth, the young folks in the church, when young people walk in and see young people in a church, they think that's a place that they kind of belong. And so youth leaders who think they only are involved with youth ministry and that's where I belong, that's what I should do because I'm young, that's not true anymore. We want to see you at the door greeting people. We want to see you in the parking lot meeting people. We want to see you at the coffee bar making the best coffee in town. Imagine. We want to see you serving youth even. The youth are like, yeah, I'll be good when I'm 30 years old. Then I'm going to jump in and I'll serve the church, no problem. Don't wait till you're 30 years old. That's not the time when you start serving. You start serving when Jesus has changed your life. You get back, say, okay, God's changed me, so I'm going. I'm walking in that direction. It's cool seeing some of these. There's a youth right there, and these two just graduated, and here's a youth right here. We're thankful that God has changed lives, and he's putting people in positions to serve the church. And the church will grow. Jesus said that he will build the church. He said he will build the church, but I believe it's these people that will build this church, empowered by God, changed by God, set free by Jesus Christ, knowing the grace that he's given us. And these people, when they're empowered, will say, this church needs a new culture. It needs a culture that has always had love, acceptance, grace, mercy, but it needs an expectation of greater things. It needs open seats. It needs a reach that it's never maybe had before. And now we go. This is an amazing foundation that we have in this church. Don't take it for granted. Let's believe that God wants to build on it. He wants to build on it. There's a lot of people in the Comox Valley who need the hope and the life that we have. What if we made room for them to find it? What if we made room for them to find that hope? I want to do that. I'm believing for it.